This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Pet friend, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I am your aquatic diva who only emerges for good photobomb opportunities. I'm Nessie. I have with me my co-host.
I'm Echo. I don't make up the stuff that I say. I just quote other people, so I'm echoing them.
That's perfect. Today's episode is going to be part one of our next two-parter series, which is very exciting.
I'm excited.
It is toxins. How are we going to break up our toxins?
We are going to start today by talking about food and beverage toxins. And then next time we will do plants and household objects.
I'm excited about all of these. You, I think, have more experience than I might.
Ew, I see.
We've shared a couple of stories.
We have. I have another one for you. This one is about my previous dog, Samuel Tarley. I think I've talked about him a couple times. But he basically poisoned himself. This is several years ago, and I was going out of town for a week, and my dogs were boarding where I worked, so I had to get together a week's worth of, you know, their food and medication and treats and everything. But it happened to be at the same time as one of the doctors at my clinic, their mother had died. So there was a group of us that got together, brought them and their dad meals for a few weeks. So I had made a dinner for that doctor and their dad, and I drove it over to their house, and when I got home maybe 30 minutes later, I found that the bag of medications I had just put together for the dogs for the following week was all torn up on the kitchen floor. No meds to be seen. And I had put it in the far corner of the counter, so there's no way that Tarley could reach it. He stood like, 10 inches off the ground. So I definitely thought that Samantha had gotten into it. This bag of meds was a week's worth of carprofen, which is an NSAID, and only Sam, the shepherd, could have possibly reached that bag on the counter. So I called my clinic, I rushed her in, and I brought Charlie along just on a whim, but he loves car rides, and, you know, he'd be moral support. They had Sam vomit, and they said that they didn't see anything in it. So I said, well, let's pick Charlie throw up too, just to see, and lo and behold, he threw up all the soft joint support shoes that the bills were wrapped in. So he got an extended three-day hospitalization starting the night before I left for a week, because he ingested 16 times the safe dose of his NSAID. That was a very expensive.
There is always something with those crazy canines.
But no, there's always.
There was the alcohol chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
There was the macadamia nut cookies. There was the cat in the yarn.
Don't forget the coffee episode. I don't know if I've talked about that on the podcast.
Oh,
but
I don't.
That was also Charlie.
We have not talked about a coffee.
Yeah. That one with bad dog. Have you ever had to deal with toxicity?
I've been fortunate enough that my animals don't counter her, whether I'm or not.
Any memorable cases?
Oh, we have had several. I mean, we see a lot of pot or weed. I don't know what the proper term is. We see a lot of those toxicity cases. And my best advice that I can offer you is be honest with your veterinarian if they got into something like a substance. Because we are not in it to call the police on you. We're in it to help your dog. So the sooner we know what it is, the sooner we can
get the pet. Well, I have a fun fact to start off with.
Okay.
According to a 2009 article from Interdisciplinary Toxicology, 95 to 98% of all reported animal cases of toxicity are about dogs and cats.
As opposed to
ferrets, rabbits, birds, guinea pigs, lizards. And I don't think that means that toxicity in another species of pet is rare, but rather just statistically ownership of another species is just less common.
It's March. This is even Toxicity Awareness Month.
So the ASPCA APCC, which is the Animal Poison Control Center, just put out the list of the top 10 toxins of 2024. number one on that list is over-the-counter medications. Human food and drinks is number two, and chocolate is number four. So really in the top four, two of them are what we're going to be covering today. We'll cover the rest of that list as we get later into part two of our two-parter episode. But I thought we should start by defining what are toxins. Yeah, so toxins are basically substances that are foreign to the body that can cause disease. And there are two main types of toxins that we're going to be dealing with. There's venom and there's poison. And despite Alice Cooper insisting your lips are venomous poison, cue the song.
That was probably not the beat for it.
You're not that far off. It's Alice Cooper. So venom and poison are not interchangeable. So kind of a simplified way to understand it is that if something bites you, you know, like a snake, and you die, it is venomous. But if you bite something, like you bite into some pie and you die, it's poisonous.
Like Snow White when she bit into the apple.
And again, despite when Alice Cooper says, "Your poison running through my veins," I love that song, but it's actually venom that has to get in your veins. Venom is the thing that travels through the bloodstream. Poison goes through your digestive tract. So if you like alliteration, then it could be helpful to remember that venom is in the veins. Poison comes from the pie. Like, I play a lot of D&D, and one thing that just kind of gets me sometimes is that there's a monster stat block for poisonous snakes. The snakes are not poisonous. They're venomous. So don't go by that D&D stat block. It's actually inaccurate.
And I should not be surprised that that is like the small little tidbit that kind of sits on your brain. I feel bad because I want that Alice Cooper song to be accurate. And could you grow up with it? I grew up with it, listened to it, my dad, everything, you know? So I feel like I've been lying for all this time.
But well, maybe not viciously. Like, it wasn't intended to be malicious.
No.
Just
no.
No fact checking in the 80s or 70s. Time for a review?
My glass. Is that
time already?
So what I've decided to go with is dog parks.
Oh, that sounds kind of nice and uplifting, she says, hopefully.
Maybe.
Okay. Our review characters today are all going to be artists or like people in bands that sing songs about different toxins.
Real quick, though, before we get into these dog park reviews, are you an endangered species?
No.
Oh, because you're one of a kind, baby.
Aw, that's a good one.
Haven't met another one like you.
That's probably for the better.
I disagree. Oh, man, dog park reviews. All right. So this first one is a dog park from Warrington, Florida.
Okay.
It is a 1-star review. Who's our review from?
Alice Cooper, since we just mentioned his song Poison.
1-star from Alice. Scary place. My roommate goes there every day and talks to other people, even dogs. Weird. Who talks to real people anymore?
Oh, okay. I do. Most people with jobs?
He almost kind of had to. I'm sure he was being sarcastic. But he was like, it's so weird. He goes there and like talks to dogs.
Well, it's unfair to say that the park is a 1-star because your roommate goes a lot.
Yeah, it's so crazy. They like interact there.
He talks to the dogs. What a jerk.
To my dogs? I talk to clients' dogs. I'm quite fond of a lot of my clients' dogs. I get along pretty well with clients as well. I couldn't imagine not interacting with
them. Yeah, one of my favorite clients of all time was in today, and we had a great chat.
Yeah, it makes the day go better. I couldn't imagine being like in solitary isolation all day. I think I'd go crazy. I just need to talk. I need human interaction.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd melt without it.
I give that review a 1-star review because that was unfair.
You're reviewing the...
You know what review swims around in my head still is that guy that bought that cat tongue brush and he melted it down to seal the roach holes. I still think about that review because that was just so wild.
That's his roommate?
Do it. Yeah, it would be lit. Maybe the guy that left the review, maybe he He's the weird one that melts down the cat tongue brush. And maybe the roommate, the normal guy.
Well, he thinks the roommate's weird. And so I was kind of thinking that maybe the reason he thinks his roommate's so weird is because he talks to other people. Well, he talks to other dogs and then melts down cat tongues for cockroach holes. That would, like, put together a weird scenario in my mind.
That would be odd. Perhaps that would end up being, like, the introductory scene to a CSI episode. Like, you see this guy's all normal at the dog park, talking to people, talking to dogs, and then, like, nefarious music starts, and you see him melting down plastic toys to cover his floor or whatever.
What you don't see is that the dogs are actually having full conversations back with him.
Yes, he's a Dr. Doolittle, but it's actually, like, not real. It's all in his head.
I heard about a movie. I want to say it was Ryan Reynolds, and I didn't personally see it, but he played, like, a serial killer guy that didn't realize he was a serial killer, and he was having conversations with his dogs and stuff, but it turns out that, you know, they weren't talking back. Like, through part of the movie, you're seeing it through his eyes where the animals are, like, talking back with him, and he's got, like, his girlfriend, and then when you see it from the girlfriend's eyes, you see that she's just been, like, ahead in his fridge the whole time.
Whoa! Okay, that sounds like a fascinating movie. I want to watch that movie. That sounds fascinating. Dark. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Yes. The Voices. It is Ryan Reynolds.
What is that streaming on?
Peacock.
Oh, and Amazon Video. Okay. Hold on while I just go to Amazon and do a little.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick in it, too.
I like her.
I want to see this movie.
Let's both watch that movie, and then we can come back to our part two episode of Toxins, and we can talk about it.
That would be great.
So let's get back to our toxic foods discussion.
I'm not nearly as good as they are.
That's okay. You keep trying, and you make that joyful noise.
I am really surprised you caught it. I am still practicing for my debut as the opener for Authentically Awkward.
So. Wonderful. We should be recording our first three songs in about a week and a half now.
Perfect.
We did touch on a few toxic foods in our Holiday Hazards episode. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, definitely give it a go, because we did talk about alcohol and bones and caffeine and chocolate. We don't want to repeat what we've already said, so check out that episode if you haven't, because there's some really good information on it.
Check it out.
29.2% of all calls to the APCC in 2023 had to do with human food and drink toxicity, with chocolate, protein drinks, protein bars, gum, grapes and raisins, onions, and garlic making up the largest portion of those calls. So let's talk about protein drinks and protein bars, because this is not something I thought about before doing the research for this episode, but many protein bars will have artificial sweeteners in them. Like sugar-free gum is also in this category because of its artificial sweeteners. Ingestion of artificial sweeteners causes significant and often sustained insulin-mediated hypoglycemic crisis. So as we learned in our diabetes episode of Dr. Spears, the levels of blood sugar in the body are controlled by the body's release of insulin from the pancreas. Now, for dogs specifically, artificial sweeteners will cause a release of insulin, resulting in a rapid drop in blood glucose. And that is a problem because there's no actual glucose in artificial sweeteners. So it just, I'm sorry, I have a hair in my mouth and I need it out. Lola.
I was watching you and grab at your tongue every other word, and I was like, I could tell you had a hair, but also it was just hilarious to watch you try out a continue on.
Good grief.
Is that what I look like? That was so silly.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, mine was probably slightly over-dramatized because I don't think you used a bow pan, but
it was,
you know, it was a lot.
Now, for dogs specifically, artificial sweeteners will cause a release of insulin, resulting in a rapid drop in blood glucose. And that's a problem because when a dog ingests artificial sweeteners, there is not an increase in blood glucose. So the dog presumably has a normal level of blood glucose, but then when the release of insulin happens, the normal level dips really low, which can cause profound lethargy, ataxia, seizures, and also collapse. I think we've defined ataxia before in our mobility episode, but let's do it again. What was your, you had a good Nessie definition.
Euler drunk.
It's a neurological condition that is characterized by a lack of coordination and balance. I do like your
couple of too many. Yeah, definitely a little stumbly, a little, you know, could use a good lie down.
Mm-hmm. So clinical signs of artificial sweetener toxicity can develop in as few as 30 minutes after ingestion, and it can include vomiting, weakness, ataxia, depression, hypokalemia, seizures, coma, and liver dysfunction or failure. So hypokalemia is not one that we've talked about before. Do you want to give an SE definition to hypokalemia?
Is that the potassium decrease? It means you need to eat some banana. You need to go ahead, get your orangutan on, and get a banana. Do a little Jungle Book, want to be like you, except for you want to be like Ken Roddy and eat some bananas. Yeah.
Hypokalemia is the deficiency in potassium. So potassium is necessary for proper function of nerves and muscles, and it regulates heartbeat. Low potassium has the potential to make muscles weak or cramp or twitch, and it can cause paralysis, and it can also cause life-threatening heart arrhythmias. That's the fun stuff with artificial sweeteners.
I like artificial.
Artificial and twizzles.
Listen, I have already worked a 10-hour day. I'm not functioning at peak capacity.
It just put Twizzlers in my mind, and I got like real excited. I know a lot of people aren't a fan of a Twizzler, but it's a great movie food. So, you know. Okay. I have another review for you. Do you have another name?
Yes. Let's do Brett Michaels, who is the frontman for the band Poison.
What? The seat.
All right. So, this next review is going to be a wild ride, and I'm going to need you to hold on for it. Everybody, grab your safety handles. It's going there.
Already.
This is for the Roger Scott Dog Park in Pensacola, Florida, from Brett Michaels. It's a 1-star review. Poop from a human was in the small dog park. Sad face. I know, because it was a huge blob on the bench. A few months ago, my pup was eating it, which is how I discovered it. They don't maintain it. Unhealthy. Although my sweet boy liked this place for a whole year.
I do just want to say that it's possible for dogs to jump up on a bench and have a little potty session.
And it was there a few months ago.
Is it still there?
I'd like to think it's still there, getting licked on like a popsicle by Mook Padaba. And that's how you know it's a human.
That's not how you know. It's a huge blob. Let me tell you.
Well, that's how they do.
The size of Chetney's poop is the exact same size as Samantha's poop. Chetney is a third the size of... He looked at me like you were saying, excuse you. This episode is going to be nothing but raucous laughter.
No, well, that's fine.
Chetney is like a third the size of Sam, and their poop is the same size.
You measure it? Give it a little weigh-in?
No, but I have often been surprised at how big Chetney's poop piles are. I'm so thankful I have dung beetles in the yard, so I don't have to clean it up.
Right. Well, it is on a park bench. Okay. A huge blob.
Like a human cannot sit on a park bench and poop without it getting, like, around their cheeks. So, like...
Listen, have you not seen those store cam footage videos where people just pomp a deuce in an aisle?
No.
To just drop, pop, and go.
No.
I hate that they're out there, but like something happened. They're mad at the people at the grocery store or they just couldn't make it and they just drop and go, right? Like behind the display. You go look them up, but.
To me, like even if like, you know how sometimes you'll eat something and your tummy is like, oh no, we're fast tracking that. And you're just like, bring.
You get the 3 gurgling.
Yes, I have to drive home now, but like. Even then, I mean, if you ignore the warning, that's your own fault. Yeah. Heed your body trying to tell you that you have an issue. You can, like, run.
If you are in the dog park and you get that 3-second warning, pop and go on the bench. No one is going to see. And they'll just think the dog did it.
What?
That's the problem if they did it on the bench. If they did it to the side of the bench, they would have never been caught.
Oh my goodness. That is a really funny review. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Reading dog park reviews was insane.
Yeah. Oh, I look forward to more. Gosh, that's funny.
It's crazy out there.
All right. Well, let's talk about grapes and raisins. Here's the tough part about it all. The toxin in grapes is totally unknown to us. So we don't know why it happens, but ingesting grapes or raisins causes renal failure in dogs. Sultanas and currants also fall into this category.
Say those again.
Sultanas and currants. It's a type of fruit.
Are they little like grape?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Sultanas are a type of grape. So I have a type of wild grape growing in my yard. They're called scuppernongs. My neighbors have muscadines. They're just types of wild grapes. Sultanas fall into that category of wild grapes. And currants are...
an alien species off of Mass Effect.
Currant?
No, they're currants.
Oh, that's currants and currants.
It's very close. They are a distant cousin down the family tree.
So... currants are not turians. They are like little tiny berries that grow on vines. Very similar to grapes. They're usually smaller.
Not nearly as close to an alien species race as I originally
thought. So ingestion in fatal cases has been seen in as little as 10 grams of fruit per kilogram of pet body weight. It is not very much at all. And this is the tough thing. You know, there have not been any studies that have yet been able to reproduce reliable toxicity doses. Some researchers have hypothesized that perhaps there's some component in the fruits that vary in quantity or strength in each individual grape or berry, or there's an outside variable that has to be present for grapes and raisins to become toxic, like something health-wise that makes the difference.
When I was a groomer, I had a dog that came to me. Only I could do him because he was very naughty. He was a cockapoo. I'm going to call him Monster. One day, the owner came to pick him up after his grooming session, and she had a bag of grapes with her. And she was like, he can come and get in the car. I brought his favorite snack, his after-groom snack. And I was like, are you feeding him those grapes as a snack? Yeah, he gets them every time I pick them up from the groomer. So once a month, he was getting old. I advised her not to find a different treat and not to give them because I don't know if maybe down the line he's going to have problems. I wasn't really sure how that worked, but I knew that he shouldn't be having grapes once a month.
The general consensus within the veterinary community at large right now is just that any ingestion is considered dangerous because we just don't know. If an animal gets grape or raisin toxicity, signs can appear as early as 6 hours. But always within 24 hours. And those signs are going to be vomiting and diarrhea within 6 to 12 hours of ingestion. But then they can get anorexia, abdominal pain, weakness, dehydration, tremors, lethargy, and polydipsia. Do you want to define polydipsia? Give me a nasty definition. A nasty defi.
Where you drink more water than you should. It means you thirsty.
That's a thirsty girl. Oh, that has a different meaning. You thirsty. Ooh, I like that one. So polydipsia is abnormally increased thirst, usually as a symptom of a disease. Then renal failure usually develops within 24 to 72 hours of exposure.
We need to go back on our traveling tour of dog parks.
Lovely. Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. What's the title of the song?
Taste of Poison.
I like it. Familiar
of poison. All right. This is for Fort Wolf.
Fort Wolf is the name of the park.
Fort Worth, Texas, which is why it's called Fort Wolf Dog Park.
Totally makes sense.
Lizzie left a 1-star review and it said, couldn't find it. Drove around for 10 minutes down the end of every available road.
Or she just didn't give it enough time.
How many roads do you get down in 10 minutes?
Apparently everyone. And there was multiples. There was at least two.
I think your directions were wrong.
Perhaps she put in Fort Worth or Fort Wolf.
Maybe she got some letters wrong. I'm real sorry that in after 10 minutes in every street, you couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a
Twitter.
That too. which is a shame because she never seemed that way to me before. A second one for this dog park, also kind of short, is
Britney Spears for her song Toxic.
Leave Britney alone! 1 star from Britney. Just because I live across the street and have to drive past it doesn't mean I would ever take my dogs there.
Well, Lizzie needs to get with Britney because Britney knows where it is. Because Britney lives on one of those streets.
Britney lives across the street. You drove by her house. You should have just asked her.
And she, wait, okay, so she's mad because she has to look at it?
Yeah.
Presumably she chose that house to live in.
It doesn't mean I would ever take my dogs there.
But why? Is there poop on a park bench for months at a time?
If there was poop on the park bench, that's a really good reason, especially the human poop. Maybe she was the one who did it and she doesn't want to go back again.
That's why she wouldn't take her dogs there.
She was like, they poop on the benches there. Don't ask me how I know. I just.
Or maybe she got the 3-minute gurgle warning and someone was in the bathroom at her house and she just had to run across the park and was real embarrassed.
She's like, listen, you got to do what you got to do when there's one bathroom, which I can understand. I have one bathroom. I know what it's like.
I do also. I have just one bathroom. Most of what I'm concerned about is getting animals to shoo out of it. Because, you know, I don't know if your animals do this, but mine like to follow me in there and just stare at me. And I'm like, just because I watch you poop doesn't mean you have to watch me. Go away.
No, ma'am. It always feels like somebody watching me. Insane. So all we've learned from this last dog park in Fort Woof is they need to get Britney and Lizzie together and y'all just figure it out. What you got for us?
Let's talk about onions and garlic. So onions are everywhere. They contain toxic components which can damage red blood cells and cause hemolytic anemia, accompanied by the formation of Heinz bodies in the red blood cells of animals, and most notably in cattle, dogs, horses, and cats. I know I just said a lot of kind of medical words, so I do want to break this down because this is a really important one. So they damage red blood cells. We know red blood cells are very important and cause hemolytic anemia. Do you want to give us a Nessie Defi for hemolytic anemia?
It means you don't have enough red blood cells.
Yeah.
Which means you're like tired.
Oh, that's one symptom. Yeah, for sure. When red blood cells are being destroyed faster than they can be replaced. This hemolytic anemia is accompanied by the formation of Heinz bodies. In a very simple definition, are small particles of denatured hemoglobin. Now, what is hemoglobin is another word that we should define. It's the protein in red blood cells that carry oxygen. So in the simplest understanding, basically, the formation of Heinz bodies in the red blood cells just means that it's the formation of these small particles of damaged proteins that can no longer fulfill their function of carrying oxygen throughout the body. And so particularly with dogs, Heinz body anemia is very uncommon, and other substances that can cause Heinz body anemia in dogs are rare enough that when it is noticed, onion toxicity is always suspected. I know that's a lot of medical stuff, but hopefully that kind of helps to understand what hemolytic anemia is and why the formation of Heinz bodies is very dangerous. So onion toxicosis is consistently noted in animals that ingest more than 0.5% of their body weight in onions at one time. And so that's, 0.5% of body weight. Let's say Samantha, she's 40 pounds. So 40 times 0.05, because that's, I got to convert percentages to decimal places. For a 40-pound dog, that's 2 pounds of onions. That is like a bag of onions that I buy at the grocery store. So if she decided to get into that, then we might see onion toxicosis. Or it can happen at a higher dose that's spread out over several days. That can be enough to cause hemolytic anemia and Heinz body formations. So it's important to note that all forms of onions are toxic. That's raw, cooked, dried, dehydrated, powdered, like all forms.
Purple.
Yeah. Purple, yellow, white, blue. I don't know. Are there green onions? Maybe. Yeah, there are, aren't they?
Yeah, there are.
All the colors of onions. Symptoms of onion toxicity include vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, loss of appetite, depression, and dehydration. And it will take a few days to display the symptoms associated with the loss of red blood cells, which would be pale mucous membranes, rapid breathing, difficulty to breathe, lethargy, dark colored urine, particularly if it's kind of a reddish or a brown, jaundice, weakness, rapid heart rate. Like it's a lot of things that can really start to become a problem. And there's no antidote. So hospitalization is required to keep the pet hydrated, and blood transfusions are often needed.
The solution to pollution is the leak.
Yes. Dr. Spears says that all the time.
Dr. Mowdy also uses that.
So garlic and chives are considered more dangerous for horses, but less toxic than onions and dogs specifically, though they can still cause hemolytic anemia if they're consumed in large amounts. In small amounts, it can still cause gastrointestinal upset.
Ask yourself, is that worth
it? No.
It's not.
Not.
Just don't test it.
And that's like,
why would you?
Basically, like, when these dogs ingest something that's toxic, I mean, they're getting that like 3-gurgle warning. And oftentimes they have accidents in the house because they can't get outside fast enough. They just go.
There are a lot of natural flea remedies out there that recommend feeding your pets garlic as a flea prevention.
I have never seen
the worst idea.
That is not they.
No, I got in a fight with my cousin over Christmas over garlic and flea prevention.
Just avoid, 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 avoid.
Mm-hmm. Just get a regular flea preventative. Do not go testing that garlic as your flea prevention.
No, no, no. So pretty much everything that I've mentioned so far, as far as the artificial sweeteners, the grapes, the onions, all of that information came from the same article from Interdisciplinary Toxicology. It's a really, really great article. And there's more in there than just what we covered. I had a great time reading through it. Do you want to do another review? A review?
I do. All right. So I have one for a dog park called Whisper Face Kovach Park, K-O-V-A-C-H Park. In Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
A 1-star review from...
Let's go Marshall Mathers or Eminem for his song Venom.
We're going that old school. Marshall said, I got kicked out by the police for being there for an hour before they open. Pathetic.
Why is he there? If they have open and closed hours, why be outside of the open and closed hours?
Loitering.
Okay. I do think loitering is kind of a silly thing to get in trouble for sometimes.
Well, some of the other reviews say only be there during the day because shady stuff happens at night. So might be some of the shady stuff that happens. Like, why are you there? Like, if this is notoriously known to be a little bit of a rough area, hours, don't be caught there in the rough hours loitering for an hour in the parking lot by yourself. You don't even have a dog with you.
Oh, that's bad. That's not good.
Yeah. You don't have a dog or a kid with you. Why are you loitering outside of a park?
Think of, like, adults should never loiter outside of schools when they don't have kids. That's a problem. So people should not be loitering outside of dog parks when they don't have dogs.
And he was very upset that he got kicked out. And they didn't even arrest him. They just kicked him out. And they were like, hey, we're not open yet. You're not supposed to be here. You have to leave. Stop loitering.
Well, at least he didn't get arrested or like a ticket or anything like that.
That's true. It could have been way worse for you, Marshall. So maybe just hang out in places when they're open.
That'd be really good advice.
Yeah.
Hang out where it's open. Let's list some of the other less reported toxic foods here. So this list comes from Animal Emergency Service website, where they have an A to Z guide on toxic foods for dogs and cats. So we'll start with citrus fruits. These contain citric acid, which if ingested in a small amount can cause minor upset stomach, but in larger quantities can cause diarrhea and vomiting. Salt can cause what we call PUPD, which the PD is polydipsia, which we just talked about. The PU, do you have a Nessie?
Smells bad.
PU. Beth, do you have a Nessie?
Polyuria, excessive urination. Which usually accompanies excessive drink.
Yeah.
What goes in usually must come out.
In large enough quantities, salt can also cause hypernatremia. It's sodium ion poisoning. According to Dr. Larry Thompson, hypernatremia has been reported in virtually all species of animal worldwide, with the most susceptible species being swine. Oh, that was interesting. Though he said it's also reported commonly in cattle and poultry as well. Symptoms of hypernatremia include depression, weakness, ataxia, muscle tremors, gastroenteritis, and seizure-like activity. And this article that I was reading by Dr. Thompson also said that hypernatremia is unlikely to occur as long as sodium regulating mechanisms are intact and fresh drinking water is available. If you have a healthy pet and there's plenty of fresh water, then hypernatremia is much less likely to occur. Royal Canin also put out a bulletin in 2014 about toxic foods for dogs and cats. And among this list is mentioned seeds and pits of many fruits, most notably apple and pear seeds, almonds, apricots, cherries, nectarines, peaches, and plums, just to name a few. It's the cyanogenic glycosides are found in these seeds and pits. And that...
arsenic.
Yeah, yeah. It's a plant product derived from amino acids, and they degrade through an enzymatic process of digestion, which produces hydrogen cyanide. When consumed, it causes cyanide poisoning. So all that to say, the likelihood of consuming enough of these seeds to be dangerous is rather low, but in large enough quantities, like, it can cause weakness, dyspnea, stupor, hypothermia, cyanosis, convulsion, coma, and death. Some new words here again. Dyspnea. Do you have a defi for that?
Stop breathing.
Yeah, difficulty breathing. And cyanosis.
Blue.
Blue or purple discoloration of the skin due to a lack of oxygen in the tissues. I have a crab apple tree in my yard, and I have a pear tree. And I like to pick the fruit every year because I make jelly with them or pie. I made a pear pie once that was phenomenal. Mm. I don't cook, I don't bake, but that pie was a delight.
I don't cook, I don't clean, but you could bet I got this ring.
How? Instruction manual, please.
You have to ask Cardi B. That was her line. Oh.
Right now I have a bunch of jars of this amazing like apple cinnamon pulled pork marinade that I made. It's so good. But as many crab apples as I pick every year and pears, like, there's still a few hundred left on the crab apple tree that I just can't reach. And so, like,
jeez, that's a huge.
No, it's huge. It's huge. Even with my 12-foot ladder, I can't reach them all. So when they start to, like, fall and start to rot on the ground, Sam loves to go over there and try to eat them. And, like, the seed to fruit ratio for crab apples is a lot higher than regular apples. So I always have to watch her like super closely when those apples are falling, because she will just help herself to a full meal if she could. And we know what my dogs are like when it comes to toxic foods.
Yep. They are a magnet for them.
Yeah. I'm afraid she's going to sneak a bunch of them and then she's going to get cyanide poisoning.
Hey, pet fam. It's a little late in the episode, but let's take a little break here and see what delightful products await us. See you soon.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Yay in French or Spanish, but yay.
That sounded right.
Good.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
We have a review.
Okay.
Where for you, another one. Who is this one from?
This one is from Rita Ora for her song Poison.
I pick my poison and it's you.
I am quite a fan of that song. Like, I have a lot of songs about poison on my playlist, which would be concerning to people who don't know me, but those who do, probably wouldn't be as scared. They just know that I just like poison, you know?
Save it for people that poop on park benches.
Like, for people who poop on park benches. So, this review is from Rita, and it's for Mansfield Street Dog Park in Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston. You're from Boston.
Bah. I am from Boston. Rita left a 1-star review. A very sad place indeed. There's no grass and a huge danger high voltage sign in the rear and some industrial cable spools for no apparent reason. Not one blade of grass nor other dog. Even the trees have opted to die rather than stick around, and I don't blame them. This is Boston's excuse for a dog park?
Wow. I'm mostly distracted by a danger high voltage sign in the rear.
They posted the picture of the fence where it has like the danger sign on it. Like, it's real. This person wasn't being exaggerated. Some people that even gave high reviews, you could see the high voltage sign in the pictures. They're like, oh, this park was great. My dog had tons of space. He was the only one there. And then you see like this huge danger sign and you're like, oh dear. Like industrial spools. What are those for?
I just, like, there. If there's a danger sign in a dog park, they have to remember dogs can't read. So they're not going to see the sign and then be like, oh, I shouldn't go over there.
And the other problem is the trees didn't even want to stick around. They were like,
thank you, I will not.
I'm concerned about this dog park.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a safe or engaging place.
Its overall stars are 3.1.
So some people think it's nice.
Yeah, those are the people who didn't seem to care about the high voltage sign in their pictures that were like, loved it.
There's probably a reason why, you know, those reviews are like, their dog was the only dog there.
Yeah. That defeats the purpose of the dog park, right?
I mean, I often preferred the dog park when it was quiet and there weren't a lot of dogs there, just because at the time that I was taking my dog to a park, I lived in an apartment. I didn't have a yard for her to run in, and I would take her on walks, but, you know, that only gets her so far. Let's talk about potatoes and green tomatoes.
My favorite expression, potato or potato.
That is true.
I've used it a few times in the show, always incorrect.
It's part of the charm.
I might even go with potato, potato.
I think what time, I don't know if it made the final edit, but I think what time you said potato, tomato, I was like, those are so different.
The name of it close enough. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So potatoes and green tomatoes, they contain solanine, which is a chemical compound that can reach toxic levels under certain circumstances. The consumption of potatoes and tomatoes is generally safe. However, the solanine concentration is high in potato sprouts, which some people call the eyes, and it may increase in the stem following exposure to light, damage, improper storage conditions, or even sprouting.
Please don't feed your sprouting potato to the dog.
Yeah. When exposed to light, stems will turn green, which is an indicator of toxicity. And cooking does not destroy these toxins. So that's really important to note, is that once you notice those problems, even cooking won't help. The solanine is also present in green, unripe tomatoes, but the level dramatically decreases with ripening. So red tomatoes, good. Green tomatoes, not good. Clinical signs of solanine toxicity include vomiting, diarrhea, muscle tremors, anxiousness, and seizures. So another possible toxin is hops. So hops, we know, is used in the process of brewing beer.
Bunnies also do it.
Bunnies do hop, but bunnies hopping, I don't think, is toxic to dogs and cats, etc.
Yeah, it's not ingested typically, bunny hops.
No. Or did you say injected or ingested? Those are very similar words. So if you have a pet that's living in a house where home brewing is performed, they could be exposed. This is another one where the toxic principle is not yet known, but clinical signs include anxiety, fast heart rate, panting, hyperthermia, vomiting, abdominal pain, clotting abnormalities, seizures, and even death. Do we want to define hyperthermia?
A definition by Nessie.
Nessie Desi.
It's real hyper. Use real hot.
Real hot. It's overheating.
You give me fever.
I'm hot-blooded.
There you go.
So considering the hyperthermia-like presentation, breeds at risk for hyperthermia, like greyhounds and northern breeds, especially those with low body fat, may be at greater risk of toxicity with smaller amounts of ingestion. So that's important to note as well. The last one we're going to talk about today is raw meat and eggs. So uncooked meat can contain bacteria like E. coli or salmonella. Raw eggs contain avidin, which is an enzyme that decreases biotin absorption. Do you know what biotin is? Do you have a Nessie Dethi for that?
It's why I do not have great hair or nails. For skins, because I do not take a biotin supplement.
Oh. Biotin is a type of B vitamin, and a deficiency in biotin mainly leads to hair loss and dry, flaky skin. It could also cause weakness, growth delay, or skeletal deformity. So no raw meat, no raw eggs for your pets. Cook it.
Funny enough, I had looked at a Reddit thread and screenshotted it, and it was, is it weird to go to a dog park without a dog?
We have established that it is.
It is. Yeah, so we don't have to do that part. I have one for a dog park in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Do you have another name for it?
I do. I have Conrad Lant.
Conrad said, 1 star, not a safe place to be at night. Let alone the daytime. It's really nice, though.
So it's nice, but it's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Day or night.
Day or night. What did he say? Especially during the day?
No. Let alone the day.
Let alone usually means, like, even worse.
Well, maybe the daytime is worse. So, let it alone. Just don't go there. Let it alone. I'd have a update for you.
Okay. Update on what?
It wasn't all completely thanks to our Dental Month episode. I have all the dogs with me, and she's throwing a quite literal fit about it.
Oh my goodness, that's me.
Aside from her. So I took my dog Zena, and we went and got her a dental at work. I did it myself. Because remember I was telling you she did have that little red line of gingivitis forming. And then I started brushing her teeth.
Oh, and she lets you? She's good with it?
Yes, she's always been great with it. I mean, she's never been a dog that, like, I couldn't do stuff with, right? So we just started right up with the whole smearing the toothpaste all over her and giving a little go with the brush, and she's fine with it. She's such a patient dog, we didn't even have to work up to it. She was just like, oh, this is great. Can I lick it while you do this? So no big deal. And then I was thinking, it is a little bit easier than the price that I paid for the dental.
Yeah. So brush your dogs and don't let them eat toxins.
Don't let them eat toxins. That's my update.
Great.
Do you have a wrap-up question?
My wrap-up question is, if there was one toxic food that you could make safe for your pets, like one thing that you love that you want to share with them, which one would it be?
Chocolate.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Especially because they really seem to want to get into it.
Yeah, yes, I understand.
You?
I would say grapes because I love grapes and I eat them all the time. And every time I get out of bag, I walk into, you know, into my room and I sit in my chair and everyone crowds around me because anytime I have food, obviously it must be for sharing. And so whenever I have grapes, I look at everyone and I go, not for dogs, not for cats, no. And they're all like, I don't care. I want some. And they're like, they're the perfect size for a shareable treat. Just pop one, share one, toss it, you know. And I think a lot of dogs probably do enjoy that little crunch in the juice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do. So I would have picked grapes. I didn't use Veterinary Partner for today, but I do know that there are plenty of articles on toxicity, specifically, you know, chocolate, alcohol, caffeine, foods, anything like that. So if you want to learn more about those things, one of the best resources out there for you is going to be Veterinary Partner. We aren't sponsored by them or anything, but the website has articles that are written by specialists specifically for pet owners. They're written by board certified specialists like cardiologists, dermatologists, ophthalmologists, neurologists, etc. And they're written for the intention of pet owners to be able to understand what's going on with their pets. So if you're going to get on Google, definitely get on Veterinary Partner.
We have a AI song as usual for the end of this episode. I was going to let you pick our music genre for this one.
Oh, okay. I always want to try to do something like bizarre and weird. Do you want to make a sea shanty song about toxins and specifically about people poop on park benches?
Do that. So we have a very fun AI song in line for you guys. You know how to find us. And if you don't, you can always look in our show notes for our social media and for our bibliography information on the resources we've used. And also, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, we would both appreciate it if you did. It's very helpful for us. Okay, I think that's it. We'll see you for part two. Okay, bye.
Raw apples, even colored greens are safe now. There's a bunch of foods to beware. If you've been picking up puppies poop and making sure the boys are hydrated out there. Sing! Almonds are off limits, so's avocado. We say bye bye bread dough and the pits and seeds from an apricot. Aged cheese, spicy cheese, some cherries and cocoa. Marijuana shall not cross into dear Fido's path today. It's Wednesday night and you've arrived with Verview exit the 925 with wholesome plans of hopping on screen to laugh at the latest jackass you've yet to see. If it's stellar, you'll take a walk before you go plopping on the park benches. And you keep an eye out for human poop on the park benches. Then go home and check on your pet, who's just getting to know the deck, and who needs to not eat onions or the leaves falling from that tree, nor the entire garlic bulb bones from a cooked sea base. No, sweet boy, don't eat that soup made with leeks. No pre-sticks, cashews, exposed sharp trash. We'll keep our eye out for beef jerky, pint of beer. The cat's treats in the mouth of all of our dear Fido. All won't cross his lips today. And as we keep him safe from Lysol taming tainted prey, the sun shall rise. A boneless goat cheese bag that came from a nearby grocery's horrible garbage bag. More pale ale, some salted pork and rhubarb. The bedtime doggy orders, let's pitch a tent. Came from a nearby grocery's horrible garbage bag. More pale ale, some salted pork and rhubarb. The bedtime doggy orders, let's pitch a tent.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.